What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Friday, April 26th. We got the playoffs popping right now. The Florida Panthers coming off of a win last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm coming off of a win against Hard Rock Bets, which is always fantastic. On the first goal of the game last night, I got the two assists I needed, and I got the goal. It was perfect. We got the Miami Heat at home this weekend. That's tomorrow. Panthers play tomorrow in Tampa. The Heat play at home tomorrow against the Celtics, and this series is tied at one. We got a lot of great things going on in South Florida. It's awesome. Enjoy it. I'm enjoying all of it. We had amazingness happen last year. I think that's the first time I've ever used that word, amazingness. But that's what it is. We had both teams getting all the way to the end. They didn't win it, but they got there. This year, the Heat probably won't. I mean, they probably won't even beat the Celtics in this series, but there's hope now. If they could win tomorrow, they being the Heat, boy, oh boy. We just don't know how long these rides will last. Last season, we had no idea. This season, we have no idea. That's why I say, I can't say every year because I never really say it. I said it last season. But that's why I've been telling you since last year, take all of this in. Enjoy it. We do not know how long this is going to last. And the fact that these are happening at the same time is awesome. So enjoy it. Even though the Celtics are an 8-point favorite, enjoy that game tomorrow. There's hope now for the Miami Heat. If they were down 2-0, you're like, eh. Boston's going to get to downtown Miami. They're going to put it to the Heat, and then it's going to be a 3-0 series lead, and then that's it. That's not the case now. With the Heat's game to win, I'm thinking and you're thinking, well, wait a minute. You win this game tomorrow, you're up 2-1. I'll be getting into the Miami Heat in a little bit. Today is the day after the first round of the NFL draft. And the draft, at least in South Florida, it's been overshadowed. How could it not be? The Dolphins had the 21st pick in the first round. Because the draft is being overshadowed doesn't mean football is not king, because football is king. But when you have the 21st pick and you're right in the middle of a playoff run for the Panthers and hopefully a playoff run for the Miami Heat. In fact, the draft last night was opposite the Panthers-Lightning game. The enthusiasm for the Dolphins' first-round pick, at least they had one this year, it just wasn't as high as it normally has been. And I'm not talking about just the enthusiasm. I'm talking about the actual pick itself. And that kind of stinks. It stinks that the Dolphins had the 21st pick and they didn't even win a playoff game. If you could choose as a fan, and this isn't something I had in my notes, I just thought of this saying it, but if you could choose as a fan, would you rather go to the playoffs but not win a game and then you wind up with the 21st pick, or just be terrible, have like 5 wins on the season, you're still not going to win a playoff game because you're not going to get in with 5 wins. And then you have a top 10 pick. It's easy to ask that question and also answer it when you know the result. Because during the Dolphins season, we thought the Dolphins were like a really good Super Bowl contending team. I almost put a flight on hold, not purchased it, but put it on hold for Miami to Vegas for the Super Bowl. And then I saw what was going on. I'm like, I don't even need to put that flight on hold. I don't need to buy it, even though I can get a credit for it. No, I don't need to do that. The Dolphins season just went in a downward spiral. And in the end, not only do they not win a playoff game, but they get the 21st pick in the draft. So people leave the Dolphins season on a downer. And then you have the NFL draft that is not exciting whatsoever. That's not to say that their pick won't be exciting in action, but just hearing about the pick, knowing about the pick, meh. Panthers Lightning, way more exciting than the 21st pick in the draft. Thinking about how the Heat, with a win tomorrow, could take a 2-1 series lead on the Celtics, just thinking about that is way more exciting than the 21st pick in the NFL draft. I paid attention to the draft last night online because, again, it's a reading of names. That's all it is. I don't need to watch it on television. I was watching the Panthers and Lightning. That was very exciting. And I am thrilled that the Panthers have a 3-0 lead on Tampa. Just get Tampa out of the way. Get rid of them. And they'll have that opportunity tomorrow once again in the Lightning's building. I have a lot to get to this hour. Tons of information, tons of notes, many things to say. I'm not going to dedicate a segment today to the Marlins. I've got a segment for the Heat. I got a segment for the Panthers. I got a segment for the Dolphins. I do not have anything for the Marlins, but you may have heard this morning around maybe 10 a.m., the Marlins announced that Jesus Luzardo is being scratched from his start today because yesterday he felt elbow discomfort. So instead of starting a game today, he's getting tests. He's getting evaluated. None of that sounds good. This season for the Marlins has been a complete disaster. And it's still April. How crazy is that? The baseball season just started. And it's already a complete disaster for the Miami Marlins. The Marlins are doing a lot of promotions. Go to a game. Tickets are cheap. At the same time, I tweeted out this morning a new promotion by Major League Baseball. You can now order ballpark food to your home. They'll deliver it. No, a concession stand worker is not driving from Lone Depot Park to your house, but you could order hot dogs and nachos and all this stuff from like Uber Eats and DoorDash and some other places. So if you're going to watch a Marlins game from home and not go to Little Havana, now you can get a chili dog with cheese. And if you get two of them, at least you've got a private facility and no waiting in line, although you probably wouldn't have to wait in line over there anyway, to go ahead and dispose of the chili dog with cheese. I don't know if a chili dog with cheese would be good delivered anyway. No thanks. All right, so like I said, I want to talk about the Panthers, the Heat, the Dolphins. I got a lot to get to. But I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
The Panthers beat the Lightning. The Heat have game 3 at home against the Celtics. Jesus Luzardo, elbow discomfort. I am not officially starting the hour with any of those. We got to chop it up for a moment. Chop Robinson. Yes, I want to talk about the Panthers win. But I think it's somewhere in the sports talk handbook that I am legally required to start off by talking about the NFL draft that the Miami Dolphins were involved in last night. So I will begin with the 21st pick. The Miami Dolphins select Chop Robinson. What do we know about Chop Robinson? Apparently, Chop was a big baby, so his mom said he was like a pork chop, hence Chop Robinson. Chop came from Penn State. His production wasn't good, just 4 sacks last season, 11 total. But apparently, Chop's skill set and the talent is there. Now, can you quickly name the cornerback the Miami Dolphins took last year with their first pick without Googling? Okay, maybe some of you said it. It wasn't a first-round pick, but it was their first pick. Cam Smith. Did Cam Smith do anything year one? He wasn't even really given the opportunity. Are we going to remember Chop Robinson? This pick signals something about the Dolphins that you probably already knew. They let Christian Wilkins leave. They let Andrew Van Ginkle leave. Both Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb are expected back, but they're both coming off really bad injuries. So to me, this pick has a lot to do with position of need. There's not a team in the NFL that doesn't need good edge rushers. But Chop Robinson wasn't a production guy. Apparently, he's a talent guy. I say apparently because I don't know anything about Chop Robinson. I'm not going to come on here and tell you I know all about Chop Robinson. I don't. Unless you're really into the NFL draft, you probably don't even know or had heard of Chop Robinson before they called his name yesterday or talked about him on TV. Will this pick turn out to be good? How am I supposed to know? Anthony Weaver, the new defensive coordinator for Miami, he's going to have to coach him up. He's going to have to scheme him up, find ways to get him into mismatches and use that combination of speed and power. But I always find it silly the day after someone is picked, somebody who hasn't played a single snap in the National Football League, and people are telling you right away if he's going to be good or not. Oh, yeah, this is a great pick, or oh, no, this is a bad pick. How the heck do you know? You could say you know one way or the other, and there's a chance you're going to be right, but you're going to be right or you're going to be wrong because you really don't know. You're just taking a stab at it. What's concerning to me about this pick, just from hearing about it, Chop didn't put up big numbers. He said that his hand placement wasn't good, and he's worked on that. But to me, if you're going to be a first-round draft pick in the NFL, I think you should be really productive in college at bare minimum. Sundays are what matter. We know that. In college, Saturdays are what matter. If you're not putting up numbers on Saturday, are you going to put up numbers on Sunday? Maybe. I mean, we got to see. I don't know. Can't tell you. Oh, no, he didn't put up numbers Saturday. He ain't going to put up numbers Sunday. I don't know that. I would think you would want someone that puts up big numbers on Saturday so they could put up big numbers on a Sunday? That would just be my guess. If you have a lot of talent, shouldn't you put up big numbers on Saturdays? If it were me, if they came to me and said, Andy, we love your sports betting picks. Can we have your pick for our first round draft selection? I would have said, hey, take the best guard on the board. The Miami Dolphins need help along the offensive line. The offense is Mike McDaniel's baby. They got so many good skill players. You need some studs up front if you're Miami. You got to make the whole thing work. You need an offensive line. I'm sure as the draft goes on, the Dolphins will target the offensive line. Maybe Chris Greer had a strong belief in Chop Robinson. I saw the video from the draft room with Stephen Ross, Mike McDaniel, Chris Greer, and Tom Garfinkel. They were all excited. Of course they're going to be excited. Maybe this was the dude from the get-go that Chris Greer and all of them wanted, knowing that they were sitting at 21. So maybe they did get their guy. It's possible. But to me, I need to see a lot from him. Those first-round picks matter. And as far as the rest of the first round went, so many quarterbacks, we knew that was going to happen. The most surprising and probably the most interesting pick in the draft, as you saw yourself, the Falcons taking Michael Penix. So odd, you give a boatload of money to Kirk Cousins and then you draft the QB high. Not that the QB was high, the draft pick was high. We've had offensive linemen high in videos before they're drafted. But in this case, it was just a high pick. I guess if you're Atlanta, you let them fight it out. I mean, that's a conversation for Atlanta sports radio. You sit Penix behind Cousins. All I know is this. If there's one position you've got to get right in the league, it's the QB position. You could have a veteran you know and a rookie you like. It's certainly a way to do it. But a first-round pick is a steep price to pay for it. I was kind of joking that the Dolphins would trade up and grab a quarterback. Miami would have been in an uproar. Some of you would have loved that. But the Dolphins, they've got Tua, and one of these days they'll sign him to a long-term deal. I don't think they should give him that long-term deal just yet. I don't think there's any reason for it. He hasn't won a playoff game. He stayed healthy for one full season, which is great. Let's see if he could do it again. Prove yourself. And then get paid. But it just goes to show you, if you didn't already know, which you probably did, the quarterback position is the most important position in not just football, but all of sports. If you don't get that right, you're not going anywhere. Now, if you do want to go somewhere, might I suggest the Poker Room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood? I love playing cards at the Hard Rock in their Poker Room. It's fantastic. Not only does it have a great layout, there's so much action in the Poker Room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. My poker tournament, the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament, is coming up in just a little more than 2 weeks from now. It'll be Tuesday night, May 14th. I'll give you more info on that as the date gets closer. But you don't have to wait until then to play in a tournament. They got tournaments going on every single day. The best thing you can do, visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. You'll see the entire tournament schedule there, all different buy-ins, many different events. You'll see bonus high hands when they're awarded, sometimes $1,000 every 30 minutes. There's just a lot of action. There's a lot of money flying around. It's a great place to play poker. The Poker Room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Is it time for the Lightning players, the staff, the front office, to start booking some tee time? The Florida Panthers are a juggernaut. The Panthers went into their personal house of horrors. Second day in a row I use that word, and I want to be clear. House of horrors. And again, like nothing, they got the goals they needed. Two from Matthew Tkachuk, including an empty netter. The Panthers have a 3-0 series lead. And what a fantastic development this is. Being up 3-0 on Tampa is complete proof of how far this franchise has come. The Panthers spent several years looking at their neighbors with envy. Dang, that team. They're always a problem. We got to deal with that goalie, Vasilevsky. So hard to get past them. It happened again and again. And now, like it's nothing, the Panthers are just plowing through Tampa Bay. I love to see it. I think psychologically, it's really good for this Florida franchise. Not just beat the Lightning, but demolish them. Just to make a point. This is not the old Florida Panthers. This is a much better organization. It's a much better and deeper team. The goaltending is better. The stars are clutch. I don't know if the Panthers will win the Stanley Cup, but I can say this much. It wouldn't surprise me if they did. Why would it? That's where I am with them. They got to the Stanley Cup final last year, and they look like they are determined to not only get back again, but this time win it all. And I thought that when I watched them during the regular season. The style of hockey they played during the regular season is exactly the same style of play you want to have during the postseason. They're ready for this. You could tell. If I had any advice for the Panthers, not that they need it, because they're doing very well. They're up 3-0. I would just say, tomorrow, get that W and sweep them. Finish this series tomorrow. First of all, you finish the series tomorrow. That's a lot of fun. Sweeping a team, that's fun. Panthers swept Carolina in the Eastern Conference Final last year. That was fun. Get rid of them. But most importantly, and big picture, do not play with your food. You don't want to have any more games than you have to. More games means more funny bounces, more chances of something happening. Just get it done. Take care of business tomorrow and be done with it. Get some rest. This is a marathon. Have a bunch of days off and be ready to go, whether you're going to face the Bruins or the Maple Leafs. And I think the Panthers can dispose of either the Bruins or the Maple Leafs. I don't think it matters. If you asked me, Andy, would you rather the Panthers take on Boston or Toronto? I would say it really doesn't matter. They beat them both last year. They haven't beaten the Bruins this season at all, but I don't think it matters. I think the Panthers can beat either of those teams. For entertainment purposes, I would love to see the Panthers and Rangers in the Eastern Conference Final. It looks like if the Panthers did advance there, and they still got to beat Tampa, I could look ahead. They can't, I can. It looks like it would be either a rematch of last season, Panthers and Hurricanes, or Panthers and Rangers. Panthers-Rangers would be nuts. That would be such an awesome series. There's a long way to go. Panthers haven't even won their first round series yet. Neither has any other team. But the way things look, they're going to get there. The Panthers aren't afraid of anybody. It would just be so entertaining to face the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Final. Yeah, I got to think ahead and talk about this while I can. I spent years and years and years, like 14 years doing this show where they don't even win a playoff series. It was like 26 years in total, but 14 for me on the airwaves. So you better believe I'm going to have fun with this and enjoy it and talk about it and look ahead. Some of you might be looking ahead to what you're going to do this weekend. We got games tomorrow. We've also got live racing at Gulfstream Park. We've got that going on right now. It is the Royal Palm Meet at Gulfstream Park. Live racing every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I love going to Gulfstream Park. I really do. When I go there, I go to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms, get myself a table, have a fantastic meal, whether it's the buffet during the weekend or the menu. Their menu's really good. So much good food at Gulfstream Park. I watch the races live right in front of me. Of course, you know me, I wager on them. You don't even have to wager a whole lot. People wager 10 or 20 cents, and I see them make thousands of dollars. It happens all of the time. You can look it up for yourself. It's the Royal Palm Meet. It's going on right now. Live racing Thursday through Sunday. 4 days a week to go on out there and watch the races live. It's exciting. You can have a great meal. You'll have a really good time. Head on out to Hollandale Beach during the Royal Palm Meet. It's going on right now at Gulfstream Park. We got plenty of action tomorrow. Game four, the Panthers and Lightning. Cats going for a sweep. Game three, the Heat and Celtics. The Heat trying to take a 2-1 series lead. How am I even saying that? Why do these games always got to be at the same exact time? The Panthers game is at 5 p.m. The Heat, they play at 6. Sure, two screens, that's possible. You go to a sports bar or restaurant, they got multiple screens. But what if you're a Panthers fan and you have Heat tickets tomorrow? That kind of stinks, doesn't it? And if the Panthers do lose tomorrow, which I hope they don't, their game 5 would be Monday. The Heat also play on Monday. All the pressure in this Heat series right now, it's on the Celtics. This is not a typical series where you're like, okay, we got a split. No, this is nothing like that. This is Heat-Celtics, a rivalry, sure. But this is a monstrous Celtics team that had a great regular season going up against a Heat team that does not have Jimmy Butler. Spo in game two ran circles around Joe Mazzulla. The Celtics were amazing at home. The Heat, they just beat them in their building. And that was after they trashed Miami in game one. Boston was probably feeling great. But then game two was a Spo game. The schedule makers messed up for the Celtics. They gave Spo a couple days off between games, and that's too much time for somebody like him. The adjustments the Heat can make in that period of time, they made them, and it knocked Boston back. The Heat hit a record number of threes, and suddenly it's 1-1, and the next game's in Miami. All of the analysts said this was going to be a four-game series. I came on here saying it's probably going to be a sweep, maybe five games. Well, it's not a sweep. Five games could still be true. But what we do know is Boston, they're so much better. They got Jrue Holiday. They got Porzingis. They got Tatum. They got Brown. This is the Celtics' time, but the Miami Heat, they may be able to stop them. At least it's cool to think they might be able to stop them. They got a game from them in their building. I think Boston really brought this upon themselves. All that talk, and it wasn't a huge story, but it was a huge story in Boston at least. It wasn't a huge story in Miami, the Code Red talk about Caleb Martin. Celtics fans hate Caleb Martin. He torched them in the Eastern Conference Finals last season. Then he had a hard foul on Tatum. Boston, on paper, is a much better team. Why are they spending time and energy talking about, yeah, the Heat ordered a Code Red, trying to take out our guys. They're so dirty. We're tough. We're not going to stand for that. If you are a great team, you don't get involved in that extra nonsense. Not publicly. You're too busy focused on winning. Especially when you're a 15-point favorite. You don't dignify that foul with all of these remarks. That's exactly what the Miami Heat want, and that's what they got, and they got to win. One area that clearly Miami has an advantage with in this series is mental toughness. The Celtics players are good, and they're capable. But minus Drew Holiday and Derek White, they had a bunch of fragile dudes. If Boston can't get it together and Miami wins tomorrow, game three, the Heat might win this series. And to be clear, if the Heat do beat the Celtics in this series, the Celtics are the best team in the East, who else in the East is going to want to face Miami? Considering that if Miami somehow can keep playing basketball for another 3 or 4 weeks or maybe 6 weeks, they might get Jimmy Butler back. The odds are the Celtics still win this series. We know that. It wouldn't shock me if they won it in five. Look at last year's NBA Finals. Denver was much better than Miami, but the Heat stole game two, and that was it. That's possible here. We don't know. But if Boston messes around and the Heat win game three tomorrow, Boston might lose it all. I could see that happening. How tremendous would that be? Oh, my gosh. That would be an all-timer. If you're betting the Heat to win tomorrow, I would just bet them to win the series instead of winning tomorrow. You get way better odds. Something else I would bet on, Stewie. Stewie's got the bagel loan. And if you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage or you're refinancing, you want the bagel loan from Stewie because you will pay him nothing. In the middle of a bagel, there's a zero. When I eat a bagel, I see that zero in the middle. That's what the bagel loan is all about, zero. You pay Stewie nothing. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. It is the bagel loan, and Stewie has got it for you. What I have is Stewie's personal cell phone number, and here it is, 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, you want the bagel loan from Stewie where you pay him nothing, no lender fees, and no appraisal fees. MLS number 226715. Here on this Friday, Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10 with us on the Andy Slater Show. Clay, are you lefty or righty?
Righty.
Because the Marlins may need a lefty, but maybe they'll take a righty.
Well, at this point, I think they take anything. Man, how sad is that? I mean, the season already, like just the season in total is sad enough, but my goodness, like anything that you could try to latch on to hope-wise just seems to blow up in your face. Just such a shame.
I mean, I might as well get the bad stuff out of the way because there's so much good stuff happening in South Florida. Clay, do you think when the Marlins go next week to L.A., Skip Schumacher for the flight home will just skip it?
There you go. It was coming. Yeah, it's. I was gonna say though, like the fact that we've got the Florida Panthers looking like a machine. We've got the Miami Heat coming off one of the biggest single game upsets in playoff history, and Dolphins taking a pass rusher that has some people kind of happy, some people not happy, and you're leading with the Marlins. It's like, man, you just want to depress people.
Well,
today.
I just got
to
get it out of the way. I mean, you know, Lizardo being hurt, that's big news.
I guess you got to eat your vegetables before you get to the good stuff.
Exactly. Huh? Yeah. I mean, we'll end it on a good note. I don't want to end it on a sad note. What do you think the best note is right now, though? You just mentioned three things, so okay, Panthers.
And look, if the Heat are able to win one more, then maybe that shifts a little bit. I think though you can look at it and say, okay, yeah, that was awesome. Like I as far as like single game euphoria, then certainly it's the Heat. You want to go in and do what you did in Boston. But as far as like the overall story and where it might end up, the Panthers are just showing so many signs of being not only as good as last year, but even a little scarier.
It could be an easy question and a common question. What's more surprising? Maybe that's like a kindergarten question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is it more surprising to you, Clay, that the Panthers are up 3-0 on the Lightning or the Heat are tied with the Celtics without Jimmy Butler?
That is a good question. I don't think it's like too elementary of a question.
It's a good one. It's a good elementary school question.
Well, I mean, look, sometimes the simplest questions are the best. Like if you're asking a question in a press conference and you take too long, then eventually you're just going to get like a one word answer.
Right.
So I probably the Heat. Just because of everything they had to overcome, I did feel like if they were going to get one, game two was their best shot. But I think with the Panthers, I think we know it's there. Like we know that this team was so good for so much of the season. Then they added some firepower and it took a little while for it to click, but we knew that was in there, and it was more just overcoming the mental hurdle of Tampa Bay. And it feels like, I mean, look, you don't want to like say it's over before it's over, but they at least look like they've overcome that initial mental hurdle. Whereas with the Heat, it's physical, it's talent, it's, you know, everything involved. And yet, man, that game too was just so fun to watch. However, making 23 three-pointers, you know, you're going to have to find a different way to win if you want to actually make this a series.
But do you not think, though, because you bring up mentality for the Panthers, but not really for the Heat series, do you not think it's mental for Boston?
I think that there's a little bit of that, certainly. I thought the fact that they were talking about the Caleb Martin code red and all that garbage. And look, Brian Scalabrine, yes, he was the one who brought it up. However, you had Jaylen Brown kind of feeding into it the next day, talking about how, oh, you know, I know they like to play physical, but there's a line you can't cross. Well, come on. I mean, everybody saw the play. It felt like some of the Celtics players were trying to feed too much into that. And to me, that is a mental thing that you need to try to fabricate something instead of just going out and beating the team across from you. And it feels like they were looking for some sort of mental edge to psych themselves up, and it blew up in their faces. And so now I need to see the Heat win a game a different way. I need to see them win a game that, you know, like 88-85, or like finding something other than just like otherworldly 3-point shooting. Just, and I'm talking about to actually have a chance to win the series. I'm not talking about, hey, let's get another game just for fun. No, but they need to show that they can win a game a different way. Then I'll start to get a little bit more interested in, hey man, can they actually pull this thing off?
Okay, but I don't really get that, because if they go out tomorrow, Clay, and play the same exact game they did in game two and take a 2-1 series lead, then like, are you not happy? Do you not think they could win the series?
I can't see them having four games where they shoot 23-43 from 3-point range. It's not just a high percentage. It is an astounding number volume wise. And look, I think it's great. It's awesome, man. You want to win these games. Like, I'm talking about different than just, hey man, that was an awesome win. You're playing with house money now. I'm talking about, okay, if we're going to take this into the next step, I want to see him find a different way to win a game before I'm like, huh? Because here's the other, you know, let's get back to the mentality question. Right now, if you're Boston and you're the players there, you can kind of look at it and say, okay, man, these guys, they've just got something on us, but you know, they made 23 three-pointers. Okay, they're not going to do that again. Well, maybe that's true, but if you lose a different way, then all of a sudden that whole mental thing, that hurdle just gets bigger and bigger, and it starts to creep into your mind more. And I do think that's the biggest advantage that the Heat have over the Celtics right now is just the confidence, the fact that they feel like they can go out there in any situation and find a way to win. But I need to see them do it a different way before I'm like, man, that's more than just a one or two game thing.
Do you think the Celtics feel pressure right now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I think, especially if you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, this series is the one that if we're being honest, is probably going to test them the most. Not from the physical perspective, but they've got to overcome this mental hurdle. Celtics have all the physical talent in the world. It's, can their stars develop a mental toughness to get over some of the stuff that the Heat present? And a lot of that is kind of the psychological edge. Talent-wise, you know, especially with Giannis maybe not coming back or whenever he does, Joel Embiid, like, who knows what's going to happen with him? Like, you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, Boston, this is the team that they've got to beat, I think, to feel better about their chances of making a run at the finals.
Again, Clay Ferraro from WPLG Local 10 with us here on the Andy Slater Show. I think you probably agree with me that you love the fact that the Dolphins NFL draft first round pick is the third biggest story in South Florida. Is that a good thing?
Yeah, because it means other stuff is going on, and you know they weren't drafting high. And look, I can understand the pick, and I think we're kind of at this point where when you're drafting around 20, none of us know. And you know, Chop Robinson may turn out to be all pro, Pro Bowler type player, and certainly with Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb situation, injury wise, you gotta do your best to make sure that you're going into the season. Now, I'm not a big believer in you draft for a one year stopgap, but I do think that when you factor that into also a premium position in a player that has traits, let's just see how it plays out.
It's very early to ask this question, but where do you think the Dolphins draft next season? You think we'll be more excited about the Dolphins draft pick next season?
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't think we'll be excited about it because, look, I mean, if they're drafting high, let's be honest, if they're drafting really high, it's because the quarterback situation hasn't played out like they think it's going to. And next year's quarterback class stinks. So they like, I don't think you want to be drafted high, and hopefully they're drafted at the back end of the first round, and we're sitting here at the end of the first day of the draft, like, oh well, who cares? They won the Super Bowl. They made a deep playoff run. This is gravy. So yeah.
What do you think, real quickly though? Because we heard a lot about Tua extension talks. It's going to happen. They're close. What do you take from nothing happening yet?
My gut says that Tua's reps tried to play hardball leading into free agency and kind of banking on the fact that the Dolphins would benefit from having a little bit salary cap space this year by extending Tua. And then when they didn't bite, I think it kind of set this thing into a little bit of a lull, and eventually they'll probably meet somewhere in the middle. But I also think it shows me that the Dolphins aren't giving him, like, you know, we talk about all the time, like, oh, it's not just how good you are, but when you sign your contract. Kirk Cousins is a perfect example of that, how the guy always seems to be signing contracts at the perfect time. I don't think they're giving him the contract above or right where, like, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert got. I think they're trying to give him a little bit less, and that's probably valid at this point.
Clay Ferraro from WPLG Local 10. You could catch him on television. You could catch him online at ClayWPLG. He tweets a lot about the Miami Heat. So if you're watching the game tomorrow, you can watch Clay's tweets as well. Clay, thanks for your time on this Friday, and enjoy the game tomorrow afternoon.
Anytime, buddy. Take care.
You too. Clay Ferraro, WPLG Local 10. All right, that's all the time I've got for this Friday. I hope you enjoy your weekend and the games tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.